Good morning. Now, some people in the congregation are looking at their watch right now, and they're going to time me, and at 20 minutes, they're going to say, he needs to be done. Oh, well, good. Well, I'm just going to let you know right up front that sometimes I get really excited, and I go over a little bit. Never more than 20 or 30 minutes over the initial 20. And sometimes I get so excited that I fly by some points because I'm so excited to get to the next one that it comes out shorter. But I'm sure most of y'all would be very disappointed if I spent less than 20 minutes. So if you're looking at your watch, try not to look at it today. And if you are, don't start it yet because I'm not quite there. First of all, I just want to introduce myself. You heard a little bit about me. I'm David Miller. I go to Roslyn Hills Baptist Church, where I served as youth minister for 6 years, just under 6 years. That can change your life alone. It changed our life because we have a new addition in our family because of our youth group. We adopted a 16-year-old 2 years ago who was coming to our church by herself and was kind of stumbling through life and needed somewhere to land. So we adopted her 2 years ago, and she's now a freshman at Radford University. So... So I have three daughters and a son. I've been married for 25 years, and I love to share the Word of God. To me, this is why God put me on earth, to share His message. So I'm going to get a little bit excited, and if I start talking too fast, just hold up a hand and say, I can't hear as fast as you're talking, and we're going to work together, and we're going to be all right. Well, I understand that y'all can look at your clock now and start me. I understand that your pastor has had some health issues, and I just want to let you know that I've been praying for him. But not only have I been praying for him, but I've been praying for you guys. Because sometimes when you lose that shepherd, things are a little bit more of a struggle. So I have come this morning to be an encourager to you guys, to try to give you some strength and some energy to know that God is with you, whether your pastor is here or not, that God is with you. And He's ready to lead and direct and guide you. You know, we live in a world now where if you took how the world described a Christian, you might not want to be one. Because the world describes a Christian to be weak, timid, Mr. Goody Two-Shoes never having any fun. Right? You're weak because you have to rely on another power. You know, if we took all of those names and put them together, we probably would not want to be a Christian in today's world. But the reality is, man, we have something that the non-believer doesn't have. And they can't truly comprehend that until they understand the power of Christ. You know, when I was a little kid, the world was a different place. They never scheduled youth outings or youth sporting events on Sunday morning or Wednesday night because that was sacred church time. Television shows never had dirty words, never had vulgar scenes. But you know what? That's become the norm now. In fact, some of you folks remember all the way back to the I Love Lucy show. Y'all remember that? Well, they required them to sleep in separate beds because it wasn't okay to show two people in the same bed at the same time on television. The Dick Van Dyke show, when Laura Petrie was pregnant, they would not even show her stomach on television. Every scene had something in front of her so you couldn't see that she was pregnant. Times were different. Movie ratings were right. They didn't allow some of the stuff in them that they do now with the same rating. The world is a different place. And the challenge that we face as Christians, it's a hard world to share your faith. It's a hard world to share your faith. But you know what? The way that we can truly find the way, get the confidence to share our faith, is truly understand what our faith is. And thus our first verse. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. You see, I like to take the word world out of that, and I like to put your name. For God so loved Rachel. For God so loved Richard. For God so loved Anne that he gave his son. I'm not talking just offered to walk the earth. I'm talking about gave his son so that he could walk this world and understand what every single one of us goes through. Jesus stubbed his toe. Jesus had times during the day where he was hungry or frustrated or tired of work. Jesus experienced exactly what we experience. But he overcame all the sin that was thrown at him. You see, he had a higher power that he connected with, that he turned to in all situations. And we're going to talk about how we can do that and we can grow out of that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave his son. If we truly believe that and understand that, it's easy for us to share our faith. Let's take it a step further. He cared about each one of us so much that when he breathed life into our lungs to start our life, he had a purpose in mind for each and every one of us. He had a purpose that was different than anyone else in the existence of the universe. And that purpose might be to sing in the choir or to be a youth minister or to work in the kitchen. But he gave each and every single one of us a certain purpose. And if we truly understand that he sent his son to die for us and that he sent his son to so that we could understand the temptations of life and that he faced it and didn't fall into those and that he breathed life into our lungs with a certain purpose, then it should be really easy for us to go out and say, I have a God who loves me, who sent his son to die for me so that I could experience peace and joy. Not happiness, because happiness is temporary. Joy is knowing God and knowing the peace and the comfort that he brings us. And the cool part about all of this is we get to gather in a church and talk good about him. We get to comfort each other so that when your pastor's out, I'm sure there are people in this congregation that went and ministered to him when he was out sick, took food to the family and prayed about him. People that don't understand God don't understand that not only does God love them, but all of these people love them too. Why wouldn't you want to share that with someone else? We've been called to share that mighty, mighty God. Secondly, you know, we need that encouragement. We need to have a better understanding. We understand God and why we need to share him, but how are we going to do it? You know, I thought it was pretty awesome, the kids up here talking about things that they were afraid of. I'm kind of afraid of monster truck jam noise too. Anybody else in here? And snakes and spiders. Let me ask you if you're scared of this situation. You're in a conversation with somebody and they mention the word Jesus. Do you kind of do the backwards two-step shuffle and find something else you need to do? Or do you dig in and say, what you got? You know, they say the best way to get a quiet ride on an airplane is to open up your Bible and say the word Jesus to the person next to you. Because they will look out the window for the rest of the trip and never make eye contact with you. See, our second verse is where Paul is writing a letter to Timothy to encourage him. Timothy's out there in the mission field, and he's talking about Christ, and he's relaying the message, but he's getting beaten down a little bit. And he's losing confidence. He might be where some of us are today. And see, Paul writes him a letter, and he says, Timothy, let me give you a little bit of encouragement. You see, God did not create us with a spirit of timidity, but he created us with a spirit of power, with a spirit of love and a spirit of self-discipline. And if you can envision all of that and why God created you with those things, then we should be able to stand tall and be strong when it comes time to talk about Jesus. Because if you really break that verse down and think about it and take it back to the fact that God breathed life into your lungs to give you a purpose in life, and now you tie that to the message, don't be afraid to talk to others about love. Don't be afraid to talk to others about Christ, about God, about what He can do in your life, about having a church family like you. That's the easiest way to start a conversation. You know what? I go to church. I go to Colonial Avenue Baptist Church, and they are the best people in the world. They are there always to support me and to love and to encourage me. Boom, you've started a conversation. You've invited them into your soul about what you believe and who you are. God did not give us a spirit of timidity. He gave us a spirit of power. A spirit where we can tap into the same God that Christ did to overcome the same temptations that He did. The challenge is that sometimes we forget God's there. And we try to do it all by ourselves. Anybody ever been there? And the crazy thing is, we try to do it by ourselves and we fail and we try it again and we fail and we try it again and we fail. And life just feels like it's falling down on us. And finally, when we get to the bottom, we turn to God and we say, God, can you help me? And guess what? He's there. My question is, why don't we start there? Why don't we wait till we've hit our head and bumped our knees and fallen down before we turn to God and say, where are you, God? I know you're there. Help me. Because He's always there. He did not create us with a spirit of timidity, but of power and of love. Have you ever felt loved? Have you ever truly felt loved? Because you know what? I would guess there are people in this congregation who maybe haven't truly felt loved. Felt that experience that you knew the person would always be there. That they would always be there to comfort you, to hold you, to encourage you, to lift you up. That was my mom. That was my mother. You know, I could go 0 for 29 in a baseball season and she would say, man, you look good swinging. I played football and I could have a miserable game, but when I got home, she said, you know, you really tried hard. You worked hard. I knew she was going to be an encourager. See, we have a God. We have a God that loves us so much. And we put Him on a bookshelf and we leave Him there until next Sunday. When we take our Bible out and we come to church. And we forget God is there all week when all He wants us to do is say, hey God, how am I doing today? Can you help me get on the right path? Help me to love my neighbor. Help me to love my family. Help me to love my coworkers. Help me to love my pastor. Help me to, here's a hard one, help me to love my enemy. And here's the biggest, help me to love myself. You see, God doesn't give us a spirit of timidity. He gives us a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. See, that's the hard one, the self-discipline. Because what that asks us to do is to rely on Him. So that when we go down the path, that we turn to Him for the guidance and the direction. And at the end of my sermon, I'm going to give you a great picture tying all this together that you're going to be able to leave with, that ties all of this together, and a lot of it is self-discipline. But you know what God asks us to do is to come to Him for guidance, to come to Him for direction. And that's even in the little things. See, we often think that that's so little, God doesn't care about that. You know, God doesn't care how I spend my money over here. God doesn't care how I have a relationship over here. God doesn't care about how I work. That's wrong. God cares about all those things. He wants our attention. He wants us to call upon His name. God is a mighty God. And He loves us. And He wants us to share that love with other people. And we do that through self-discipline. Because I believe as a Christian, I want y'all to think about this. I believe as a Christian that all it is a series of yes and no answers. God, should I do this or shouldn't I do this? We know as Christians the right things to do. And all day long, we're approached by these questions. God, should I do this or not? God, should I help this person or not? God, should I give to my church or not? God, should I get involved in that committee? Should I talk to this person? Should I reach out to them? Should I pray for them? We know the answers to each of these questions as Christians. Part of the self-discipline is how we answer those questions. God, should I spread this gossip in the workplace? God, should I go to see this movie? God, should I be making this phone call to this person? Our life is a series of yes and no questions. And if we ask God first, we're going to get the question right. So God didn't give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of love, a spirit of power, and a spirit of self-discipline. So what's next? We understand why we should lift God up and share God. Now we understand how we do it. And the next is, how do we become strong? How do we get the strength? Here's my favorite part. Y'all ready? Philippians 4:13. I can do anything through Christ who strengthens me. I have three teenage daughters. I live on this verse. I can survive anything, God, through your strength. Please give it to me now. Right on. Can I get an amen from the front row? No amen from the front row. You see, God calls us to be strong. And as Paul writes this letter to the church at Philippi, it's a letter saying, thank you for all that you've done. You see, the church at Philippi was a church that supported Paul on his missions. They sent him food, they sent him money, they sent him supplies, they found him places to live. And what Paul is saying in this scripture verse is that, you know what, there are times that I've had plenty. But there have also been times where I knew what it was like to be homeless and have no food and to struggle for energy and to survive in life. And what Paul is telling the church at Philippi right here is, but it doesn't matter when I had everything or I had nothing. I was strong because I had God. I can do all things through Christ. If we focus on Christ, we can get through all situations. He doesn't promise us that life is going to be easy. What He promises is, at the end of our life, if we believe and our actions show that we believe, that He will welcome us into paradise. God is so good. He gives us so much strength. He gives us the ability to love ourselves and to love others if we call upon His power, if we call upon His strength, if we call upon His name. You see, when John 3:16 was written, it was about Nicodemus, who was what I would call an undercover believer, because he was a Jewish leader. And he didn't want the other Jewish leaders to know that he was actually believing in this man who was destroying their power and their strength. So he met with Christ, and he didn't understand what Christ was saying, and finally he said, for God so loved the world, for God so loved you, Nicodemus, so much that He gave His Son. And that ties it all together. As we sit here today, what does our life mean? Do we just stumble through life? We get up in the morning and we do the same thing every day? Or do we include God in it? Because to me, God is like sprinkling salt on a steak. It can be good, but He can make it so much better. But we have to turn to Him and love Him and live Him in order to do that. So as we wrap this up, let me paint a beautiful picture. Who remembers when they first started riding a bicycle? Yeah. When you started riding a bicycle, when I started riding a bicycle, I remember my dad running behind me, and he would hold on to the seat. And I don't know if y'all's experience was the same. My kids, I just put them on a bike and pushed them down a hill. But I remember when I learned, my dad would stand behind me. And I would get on the bike and he would help me get it rolling. And he would hold on, and if I started to wobble, he would grab the seat. And there were times that he would let go and I would start to veer off the path and he would grab the seat. But I knew he was back there to help me. And there were times that I would almost run into the parked car and he would grab the seat. And I knew he was back there. That's what today is about, guys. Today is about the fact that we are in a life where we're on a bicycle. And there are times we're going to get off the path, and if we know God is back there and we call on Him, He's right there to hold the seat to get us right back where we need to be. And if there are times where we're getting ready to share who He is with somebody, and we're nervous about talking about God, guess what? He's right back there holding the seat. And there are times that we are about to run off a cliff. And guess what? He's right back there holding the seat. And all He's waiting for us to say is, "Help me, God." Just like right before I run into the parked car, I'd say, "Help me, Dad." And He would be there to get me in the right direction. So what does this mean to us? What's going to be different when we walk out those doors than when we came in today? Are we walking out those doors understanding that God loves us so much that He would be willing to give His child away to hang on the cross and suffer all of that for you? Whether anybody else in the history of the world ever said yes to that message, He did it for you so you could say yes. And the fact that we could tap into the power and the love and the self-discipline that He gives us if we just ask. Or the fact that there are days that we need to call upon His name for strength. I had one of those days. I told my girls about that one of those days. I got up one morning. I was late running for work. I spilled coffee down the front of my shirt. I picked up all my books because I'm in sales and I have a lot of binders and stuff. And I started to walk out the front door, and we have a glass front door, and there's a little hook that you push down to open our front door. And as I was leaning on that door to go out, I got my belt loop stuck on that hook. And I was stuck on the front door and could not get off the front door. And the more I tried to get off, the more the door would bang me in the back. And I finally got off the hook and got down. It was pouring down rain, and I dropped all my stuff in the water in the street. It was a great day. And so I picked up all my stuff, and I have a hatchback on my car, and I lifted up the hatchback, and I went in to drop something in the back of the car, and I banged my head on the tailgate. Sounds like a great day, doesn't it? It sounds like a day where I should go back in the house and go to bed. But I didn't, because I called on Philippians 4:13, and I said, "You know what, God? I can do this day. There's something out there special for me today, and the only way I'm going to get there is for me to call on You right now, because if I were leaving it up to me, this would not be a good day. So I'm calling on You now, Father. I know that You can give me strength today." And He gave me strength, and it turned into a great day. Why? Because I called on Him and gained my strength from Him instead of relying on me. Because when I relied on me, I got stuck on the front door. And I hit my head. And I drop my stuff in the water. It's not about me. God loves me so much, He wants me to make my life about Him. And when I do, I experience joy. I experience peace. I have purpose. So now when we walk out those doors, I want you to think, what's your purpose? Why did God put you here in Roanoke, Virginia on this day? Because there's a reason why. And if we can figure that out and we can get in tune with God, oh my gosh, the peace and joy we can experience and those around us. And it doesn't matter if you're 2 years old or 502 years old. There's probably not too many of those in here. God still has a purpose for you. And His purpose is to allow Him to shine through you. Are you going to make that choice today? Are you going to get on that bicycle and know that He's behind you and ride on out there to make a difference in this world? Or are we going to go right back into our old habits and make it all about us and forget about God? Let us pray. Father God, You are a mighty God. A God that loves us and cares for us and gave Your Son for us. What a mighty reason for us to give back, to want to live our life for You. You're an awesome God that stands with us to help us to be strong. You have our back everywhere we go. Lord, and now allow us to be strong and recognize that you are not only behind us, but you're in front of us, clearing the way for us to spread your love. You are an awesome, awesome God. Let us recognize you every day. In Christ's name, amen.